Welcome to the Casey Kowar Show, a celebration of words. Our guest this week is Otto Penzler, the proprietor of the Mysterious Bookshop. The Mysterious Bookshop is located at 129 West 56th Street in New York, New York. It's open on from Monday through Saturday from 11 to 7, and it's closed on Sundays. Today we're going to be discussing the best American mystery stories of 2004, of which Otto Penzler, our guest, is the series editor. This year's editor is Nelson DeMille, the best-selling author, who has a new book coming out in November, which we'll be discussing in November. If you're interested in a copy of the Best American Mystery Stories, it is now available in stores, and you can order it through the Mysterious Bookshop by calling 1-800-352-2840. That number is for orders only, please. And if you're interested in purchasing a copy of the book, please feel free to call after the show. Otto, thank you for joining us today. And I know that you're particularly proud of this series, The Best American Mystery Stories, and rightfully so. And I believe this is the eighth year in the series. Is that correct?
It is. And thanks for having me on the show, Casey. It's an unusual anthology of mystery fiction in that it's not only about little detective stories. Are what I like to think of as very serious literature involving crime and suspense and it's death, mayhem, murder, all the things that make life worthwhile.
Exactly. Now, one of the things I enjoy about the collection is you write the introduction as well as Mr. DeMille. And you explain the process that you go through to select the stories that end up in the Best American Mystery Stories of 2004. And it seems that you have a helper, Michelle Slung, that helps synthesize some of the stories down for you. And how does that process kind of start? You start with a vast number of stories and then eventually select it down to, I believe it's 50 that Mr. DeMille chooses from. Is that correct?
Right. Well, what we do is we look at every magazine published in America. We try to. All of the famous magazines that everybody knows about, The New Yorker and Playboy and Vanity Fair and GQ and Harper's, all the big consumer magazines. But equally important is we look at every literary journal. I get almost 200 of them in the mail. Gettysburg Review, All Story Quarterly. Prairie Review, Nebraska Quarterly, Texas Quarterly, things that have circulations of 500 or 1,000 copies,
mm-hmm.
Where some of the best writing is being done today. New writers, sometimes established writers, but a lot of new, fresh voices. And most of those stories are not necessarily detective stories, but they're quite literary in their quality. Michelle Slung, who does the preliminary reading, goes through all of these, and you can't always tell a mystery story by the title. And so she reads part of, or maybe all of, any number of stories to find out which ones are in fact mysteries. Then the good ones she passes on to me, and then I read a vast quantity of them, bringing it down to what I regard as the 50 best mystery stories of the year. We probably look at 1,000 stories completely, and Michelle probably looks at 2,000 or 3,000 other stories to determine that they're not mysteries.
Wow.
And I have the final 50. They go to the guest editor for that year, and he then, or she, the guest editor next year will be Joyce Carol Oates.
Oh, wonderful.
Yeah. And that person, the guest editor, then reads and picks the 20. That are best, and then the rest are listed in the back as other notable stories.
Yes, and that's actually a very good source, I think, for aspiring writers who would like to get their short stories published. It's a nice list of quarterlies that you can submit your work to in this day and age where it's becoming increasingly difficult for younger writers to find publication.
True, even though most of those quarterlies don't pay, or if they pay...
No.
Hardly anything, but it really does give exposure. And we've even got to the point now where there are several e-zines, electronic magazines, and like Plots with Guns and so on. And there are a lot of stories published on those websites, and we look at at those stories as well.
Good. I had to laugh when I read Nelson DeMille's comments, and he wanted to put all 50 of the stories in, and you told him that it would end up being like his last bloated novel. And I got a kick out of that because the length of Mr. DeMille's novels is quite different from the size of the stories in the collection. But he has a very good eye, obviously, for short stories and a very nice feeling for them.
But I mean, he writes big fat books, but he made that part up. I never call it his novels.
I thought that might be the case.
There are writers who do write bloated novels when they're long, but Nelson DeMille is not one of them. Every page in a Nelson DeMille book is readable and worthwhile.
Absolutely. And his new book is Nightfall, which is coming out in November, and I'm reading that now and enjoying it very, very much. John Corey's back, thank heaven. So, Otto, we've talked before about, in this, it seems in each collection there seems to be a couple new voices that emerge. Sometimes they're quite extraordinary. Tom Franklin a couple years ago with Poachers was an amazing story, I thought, when I read it at the time.
And if I can interrupt, I'll tell you a little story about that.
Please.
That came to me, it was published in Texas Review, which has a circulation, I think, of about 500 copies. It is utterly unknown. And I read this thing and thought it was the most wonderful story of the year. I still think it was the most wonderful story of the year. And I knew that the Edgar Awards Committee would never see a copy of that magazine.
Mm-hmm.
So I called. I didn't know Tom Franklin. I didn't know anything about anything except this story was so great. I called the head of the committee for the short stories, for best short story of the year, and said, look, you're never going to see this. I'm going to send you a copy. Tell me what you think, you know, see if it's worthwhile for you. And he called me back and said, first time I've been on a committee where a story was voted unanimously.
Wow.
And he won the Edgar. And on the strength of all of that, he wound up getting a book contract at Morrow for a short story collection. And he has a real career as a writer now.
Yeah, a wonderful writer. And I'm so glad to hear that. I think this year's selection of the Best American Mystery Stories of 2004, which is published by Houghton Mifflin and is currently available in stores and through the Mysterious Bookshop, you and I have talked. I think that there might be another story like that this year. It's called All Through the House by Christopher Koch, and when I read it, I was electrified when I read it. The story's told kind of backwards in time, and I flipped to the contributors afterwards, and I said, what else has this guy written, because I want to go out and read everything he's written. And much to my surprise, I found out that this was his first published story, or excuse me, published anthologized short story.
First book appearance.
Yes, exactly.
It's just astonishing that this young man could write a story as brilliant as this with such assurance and such style and find out that he's basically a beginning writer. This is the best story in the book. I mean, no offense to the other writers. There's wonderful stories throughout the book. You know, I mean, there and some very well-known writers,
yes,
such as Joyce Carol Oates, for example, who seems to get in almost every year.
Oh, she missed once, was it?
I think she missed once. And it's not because she has a big name. This book doesn't have a lot of big names in it.
Right.
But it has Stephen King.
Yes.
A big name. But there are plenty of stories by big-name writers that never make it. It's just that Joyce is, A, prolific, and, B, likes crime fiction, writes suspense stories and crime stories on a pretty regular basis. Every year there's two or three stories that we could use for the book. And I always pick them for my top 50. The guest editor always picks it as the best story of the year, or one of the best stories of the year. But this book, this story by Christopher Koch, is just breathtaking. It is rare. I mean, I've been around a long time, and I'm an old guy. I have been around reading mystery fiction for more than 40 years, and it's rare at this point for me to read a story and suddenly be shocked.
Mm-hmm.
Shocked. And I was in this story. It gave me goosebumps. That, you know, if this story were published individually, it would be worth the price of the book.
Mm-hmm. I agree completely, and I'm happy to say that Chris Koch lives in Columbus, Ohio, where this show originates, and I'm going to be interviewing him next week for a show that will air probably in November or December before he goes out to the University of Reno to begin his teaching career. And he's as nice a guy as you would hope he would be, and I think we're going to see big things out of Chris Koch. And one of the neat things about collecting books is that I think collectors are going to want to have a copy of the Best American Mystery Stories, because this being his first appearance in a book, I think is going to be something that people are going to want to have as his career unfolds. I'd like to mention just a couple of the other stories, Otto, in the collection. And you mentioned Stephen King, and he has a story, Harvey's Dream, in it from, I believe it was a New Yorker, was it not?
That's right, yeah.
And I think it's a wonderful thing that Stephen King is now being published in the New Yorker again. And I think I enjoyed that story tremendously. And I think it obviously helps with the collection. But what was it about the Harvey's Dream that drew you to it? Or was it just like everything with Stephen King, the quality of the writing?
Well, you know, the whole book really is about the quality of the writing. I haven't tried to have a certain number of men, a certain number of women, a certain number of hard-boiled or soft-boiled or detective stories or crime stories. It really is about the quality of the writing. If it's a really well-written book, story, it has a chance of getting into the book. Steve, when he really puts his mind to it, is a wonderful writer. He's a popular writer and enjoys enormous popular acclaim, of course, but he's also very well aware of the English language and knows how to write in beautifully cadenced style. And this is a lovely suspense story. It's not a detective story at all. It's a lovely suspense story. And it was based on something that kind of happened in his real life.
Yeah, it's a wonderful story. Now, and there are two Kings in this collection. One of them is Jonathan King,
yeah,
who wrote a story called Snake Eyes. And this is another one of the reasons I love this particular series, is Snake Eyes is probably a story that I would not have come across in my normal reading, but I thought that was a fascinating and a very well-written story by Jonathan King.
Now, Jonathan King won the Edgar for Best First Novel a couple of years ago, and is an emerging writer with of tremendous talent, too. This appeared of original stories about gambling, and that's a source also for some of the stories, is anthologies, not just all the magazines and literary journals, but anthologies that publish original fiction. We also look at all of those, and we found this in a collection of gambling stories.
Oh, okay. Wonderful story. Before we talk about Joyce Carol Oates, which we have to, there's another writer that appears in the collection, Jack O'Connell, and the story is The Swag from Doc Hawthorne's. And Jack O'Connell is, if I'm not mistaken, I believe you were one of the first to publish his novels, and he has a very distinctive writing style, which I find very, very interesting and very pleasing to read. A little offbeat.
Yeah, I used to own a publishing company called The Mysterious Press. And I ran a contest one year for the best first novel. It had a $50,000 prize.
Wow.
And Jack O'Connell was the unanimous winner. My editorial staff and I read, as you can imagine, with that kind of a bonus, you know, for a first novel, you can imagine the number of submissions we had.
Yes.
And all of us picked Box 9
yes.
as the winner. And he has published quite a few books since then. I think it's about five or six altogether. And as you say, it does have a unique style. It's very recognizable
mm-hmm.
and wholly American. That couldn't have been written by a person from any other country.
Right. Well, let's take a minute, if we could, particularly since today we're discussing the Best American Mystery Stories of 2004. And you just told us that next year's guest editor will be Joyce Carol Oates. And I'll just tell the listeners that Otto Penzler has introduced me to more good writers over the last 20 years. I owe him an eternal debt of gratitude, because he has an incredible eye for and ear for mysteries and crime fiction and general fiction as well. Joyce Carol Oates it totally fascinates me, and that it's amazing to me that she is as prolific as she is, and that the quality of the writing and her characters are so interesting, and how she is able to manage her life and to produce the novels and the stories that she does. Like we were saying, she's been in 7 out of 8 of your collections. You know, Ms. Oates, how does she do it?
It's really fascinating. I mean, I think everybody who knows literature now knows that, A, she is probably the greatest living writer who has not won the Nobel Prize.
Mm-hmm.
And they also know that she is immensely prolific. What most people don't know is that she reads probably more than anybody that you've ever known in your life.
No kidding.
She carries on the most lively correspondence. If I write her a note, I get a full-page letter back, and then I get another full page the next day. How come you haven't responded? She is on the board of directors of the Modern Library. She's on the board of directors of Penn, which is a writer's organization.
Yes.
She works for the Ontario Review, which is a book and magazine publishing company owned by her husband. She is the editorial director. She runs or bicycles 15 miles a day.
Oh, my heavens.
And I am in awe, and I asked her, how can you possibly do it? And she has a full teaching program at Princeton.
Right.
Professor at Princeton, which is a full-time job for most people.
Yes.
And she said, well, I only sleep 4 hours a day.
Okay.
And I think that helps, those extra 2 or 3 hours that most of us are dead asleep, she's working.
Well, that explains part of it, doesn't it? But she's an amazing writer.
Very social. She has a lot of friends. She goes to dinners and parties. She loves being out. She's a charming, wonderful woman. She has more friends than you could shake a stick at. She's the most remarkable woman I've ever known.
I believe it. And I do hope to have a chance to speak with her, because I agree. Her writing is just amazing.
She's brilliant. She does a lot of reviews. She reviews books.
Yes.
She reviewed a book for the New York Times, a long review, and it was a book about, if I recall correctly, depression. Nothing to do with literature.
Mm-hmm.
And she quoted from about 4 other books that had been written on depression.
Wow.
And at the end of the article, here's the greatest line I've ever read from her. She said, it almost makes me want to reread, the key word being reread, and it was a book in French that was published in the 19th century.
Otto, I think she might have you beat.
Did you just smack her?
Yes. Otto, if you would, bring us up to date about the new venture you have with Houghton Mifflin, with your new imprint there. Can you tell us anything more about how that's going?
Yeah, well, it's Harcourt Brace.
Harcourt Brace, I apologize. I'll edit that. Harcourt Brace.
Mifflin publishes this. But
yes.
I have an imprint. And I'll be doing about 6 books a year.
Okay.
What I would call literary crime fiction.
Okay.
And the first 3 books that I've signed up are one by the great Thomas H. Cook,
mm-hmm.
called Red Leaves, who is one of my favorite writers working today.
Same here.
The second book is by Robert Daly.
Sure.
Very famous for The Prince and the City.
Yes.
The Year of the Dragon and many other great cop novels. And the third book is by the divine Joyce Carol Oates.
Wow.
So, yeah, we're off to a pretty good start.
Beautiful. Now, when will Red Leaves by Thomas H. Cook, do you have any kind of tentative publication date on that yet?
Yeah, it'll be published, the pub date is in June of next year.
June of next year? Okay, great. Well, we'll have a chance when that comes out. I definitely want to feature that and talk to you about that, as well as talk to Tom about that, because Thomas H. Cook is one of my favorite writers as well. Well, I'm excited about the new imprint with Harcourt Brace. That's fabulous, and 3 wonderful writers to start out with.
Very excited about it too, because Harcourt Brace is just a great classy old publishing house where more than many other of the large publishing companies, they really care about the books, about mm-hmm. the literature. It's not just about units sold and how many cartons we can sell to Barnes & Noble or somebody.
Mm-hmm.
Really care. proud to be with them.
Absolutely. Again, today we're featuring the Best American Mystery Stories of 2004, which is now currently available in stores, and it's published by Houghton Mifflin. Otto Penzler, our guest today, is the series editor. Nelson DeMille is the editor for 2004. And just to mention some of the previous editors, Robert Parker, Sue Grafton, Ed McBain, Donald Westlake, Lawrence Block, James Elroy, Michael Conley, pretty nice lineup of guest editors. And I think Lawrence Block, if I'm not mistaken, he said in 2001 that one of the reasons he wanted to be asked was so that his name would always be mentioned in a group with those other writers. Otto, before we move on to other subjects, anything that you're reading right now that you're particularly excited about in the mystery genre?
There's a writer who has been published, who's had several books published, but he's not yet very well known, but I think he's going to be one of the next superstars. Ken Bruen. B-R-U-E-N.
Okay.
I think his publisher is St. Martin's, and he's Irish, Irish noir. It's dark, it's sometimes violent, but the writing is absolute poetry. This is a guy that I think your listeners should seek out, and I guarantee that they will enjoy the book.
Wonderful, wonderful.
You've been listening to the Casey Coors Show, A Celebration of Words. Casey's guest, Otto Penzler. Thanks for listening, and join us again for our next interview.